Welcome to the AgeTurners.com podcast, a podcast provided to help you be a part of the generation that ends this age. In this installment, Brother Ricky Acosta continues his fellowship on honoring the deputy authorities that God has placed in our lives.
In the last days, for the turning of the age, the Lord must raise up a generation of young people who have a strong spirit. In the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul emphasizes the matter of the need for a strong spirit. His burden in these books was to inoculate the church and to give the antidote against the decline of the church. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul charges Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God which is in him, because God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and sober-mindedness. Paul's burden was to infuse Timothy with this matter, that he had a spirit of power. Brothers and sisters, we all have a spirit of power, a strong spirit, but we need to fan that spirit into flame. In 1 Timothy, Paul also emphasizes very much the matter of the conscience. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in the Recovery Version, there is a wonderful note on verse 1 that emphasizes seven major items that Paul brings out in the book of 1 Timothy. And the seventh one is our conscience. And there, Brother Lee writes in the note that our conscience is the leading part of our spirit. At that time in the first century, in order to deal with the decline of the church, how strongly Paul emphasized this matter of the conscience. Timothy was charged by Paul to have a good conscience. Oh, brothers and sisters, at the end of this age, for the turning of the age, we must have a strong spirit. But to have a strong spirit, we must have a good conscience. I hope that these last few weeks have helped you to see that in order to have the exercise of the Spirit in a practical way in our daily lives, we must know and exercise the functions of our spirit, our conscience, our fellowship, and our intuition. But I hope you have been impressed thus far that our conscience is the primary function or the leading function of our spirit. So if we really endeavor to take care of our spirit, if we endeavor to exercise our spirit so that we can have the real enjoyment of the Lord, we must take care of our conscience. Well, in the last few weeks, we've been trying to bring out some very practical issues that are related to our daily life in which we must exercise our conscience, and to show that it's very possible that in so many areas of our daily living, we have neglected to exercise our conscience. And unawares to us, the problem of sin has come in and dirtied our conscience and even become a barrier, a frustration against our fellowship with the Lord. So last time we began to touch this matter of our attitude toward authority. And in today's program, we'd like to continue this line of fellowship. We touched the matter of authority in our homes last time. This time, we'd like to touch the matter of authority in our society. You know, brothers and sisters, God has placed authority over us everywhere in our daily lives, in our human lives. We confront the matter of authority everywhere in our daily lives. Of course, there are laws in society. As you're driving, there are signs and streetlights. At school, there's your teacher. All around us, God has placed authority. And so what our attitude is toward authority is very important in the sight of God. We need to see that Satan became Satan because of rebellion. Satan wanted to extol himself to be equal to God and was not willing to come under the authority of God. Therefore, brothers and sisters, actually the source of all sins and of every negative thing in this universe stems from rebellion. And if we are rebellious against God's authority, then we actually are lining ourselves up, joining ourselves to Satan and his rebellion. In Romans 13, verses 1 through 5, Paul speaks a very clear word about this matter of obeying authority, how the authorities over us are a representation of God's authority over us. That is, they are delegated authorities, and also the relationship between obeying those authorities and our conscience. I'll read just a couple of these verses, but I hope that you would take some time to read this whole portion. Verse 1 says, "Let every person be subject to the authorities over him, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are ordained by God." Brothers and sisters, this is very clear that every authority in our lives is ordained by God. We need to respect those authorities as we respect God and realize that if we rebel against those authorities, whether that's our parents or our teachers or the law, we are actually rebelling against God. In verse 2, continues, "So then he who resists the authority," that is the delegated authority, the people, "opposes God's ordination, and those who oppose will receive judgment to themselves." You see, brothers and sisters, if we are rebellious or just have a negative attitude toward our teachers, this actually affects our conscience. This actually is rebellion against God. How easy it is, how prevalent it is to just have the attitude, "Oh, that's not fair," or "That's not right," as people talk about the teachers in school. And if we are sucked into that, we may not realize how this affects our conscience. Then when we call on the name of the Lord, when we read his word, when we pray read, when we are in the meetings trying to sing and exercise, and there's no flow, very rarely do we make the connection. It may have been something I said about my teacher. It may have been a conversation that I participated in that was something very negative about some authority in our lives. In verse 5, again, this is Romans 13, verse 5, it says, "Therefore, it is necessary to be subject, not only because of wrath," that is, not only obey because you're going to get in trouble, "but also because of conscience." You see, there is a link between obeying authority and our conscience. And this could be a major reason why at times we are frustrated in our church life, frustrated in our fellowship with the Lord, that we just don't have the sweet enjoyment of the Lord, because actually we have resisted God's ordination. In 1 John 4:20, there's a principle. This verse reads, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." You see, many of us are willing to obey God directly, but our biggest problem is to obey God's delegated authority. In this verse, it says that The man who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Likewise, the same principle applies to the matter of obedience. If we cannot obey an authority which we can see, how can we obey God whom we cannot see? Therefore, the delegated authority becomes a test to us. If we want to obey God, we must first obey God's delegated authority, which He has appointed over us. Many of us are familiar with parts of the story of David in the Old Testament, King David, who, when he was just a young boy, he slew Goliath, and he was eventually anointed to be the king. However, there was another king during that time, and that was Saul. And Saul was actually anointed first. And if you read the story, you find out that eventually Saul became jealous of David and was trying to kill him. So David was fleeing Saul for a long, long time. And in this kind of pursuit, eventually, one time, Saul, as he was pursuing David, ended up resting in a cave. And this, actually, you can find this story in 1 Samuel chapter 24. In that same cave, David and his men were hidden deeper into the cave. And so when David's men realized that King Saul was there resting or sleeping in that cave, and this was their opportunity to slay him, to make David the king, they were going to take advantage of the situation to bring David into the kingship. So they urged David to slay Saul. But it says in chapter 24, verse 4, David rose up and cut off a corner of Saul's cloak without being noticed. And verse 5 continues, but afterward, David's heart smote him because he had cut off a corner of Saul's cloak. Now, this is very interesting. Why, if David didn't slay Saul, if David only cut off the corner of the cloak, why did his heart smite him? Actually, if you read on in the story, a little while later, David shows Saul the cut piece of the cloak and holds it in his hand to show him, I had the opportunity to kill you, but I didn't do it, just to show my heart is not against you. But why did David's heart smite him? The reason is that Saul was the delegated authority. Even though Saul was so jealous and wanted to kill David, still, Saul was the delegated authority. And when David did that against Saul, even to cut a corner of his cloak, God was not happy with him. And so his heart smote him. Why did his heart smite him? Actually, that was his conscience smiting him, his conscience bothering him. What does it mean to cut the corner of the cloak of, say, our parents? That means that we don't openly rebel. Maybe we don't rebel to their face, but when we are with our friends or when we are with our brothers and sisters, we talk negatively about them with a spirit of rebellion. Even this, for such a thing, the Lord will smite our heart because we are rebelling against the authority that He has placed over us. In 1 John 3:20, it says, because if our heart blames us, it is because God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Brothers and sisters, if our heart is blaming us, actually that's our conscience bothering us, if our conscience is bothering us, it says here in God's word, it is because God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Oh, brothers and sisters, our conscience is our preservation. Our conscience could keep us in the fellowship with the Lord. We must exercise to go along with the feelings of our conscience, to obey our conscience. And when our conscience smites us and bothers us, we need to repent. We need to confess our sins so that we can have a cleansed conscience, so that we can have a strong spirit. Oh, may the Lord raise up a generation of young people that have a strong spirit, that are one with Him for the turning of the age. I do hope that you all would take this fellowship to heart and consider in your own life, what is your attitude toward all the authorities that God has placed over you? May the Lord strengthen us to always have a conscience without offense toward God and men. O Lord Jesus, strengthen us into our inner man and make your home in our hearts a little bit more today. For ageturners.com, this is Ricky Acosta.